Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. What does the Pillsbury Doughboy have to do with blindness training? Well, now, this isn't really a riddle or a joke. It's for real. The agency called Blind Inc., Blind Incorporated, is located in the historic Charles S. Pillsbury Mansion in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Here's what you need to know about the Blind Inc. program and the beautiful building where it's housed. First of all, the Blind Incorporated is a nonprofit adjustment to blindness training center that offers training for adults, children, teenagers, and seniors. They say, we teach the skills that blind people need to become independent and employable, such as braille, home management, the use of a white cane, computers with screen reading software, and more. But just as importantly, we instill in our students the confidence to put these skills into practice. We utilize the positive view of blindness based on the National Federation of the Blind. We work from the premise that blindness doesn't have to be a tragedy. We know that if given training and opportunity, blind people can live full and productive lives. Blind Incorporated, or as it's called, Blind Inc., is located in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the historic Charles S. Pillsbury Mansion. Now we'll switch and have a little bit about that mansion. This article is titled, The House That Flower Built. It was written by Barbara Pierce and Daniel Fry. The people at Blind Incorporated have intentionally planned their center to be the smallest and most intimate of the three NFB adult training centers. I believe that's referring to the Minnesota training centers. For the first 2 months, students are trained in two successive apartments, which meant crowded quarters and lots of inconvenience. Then the center moved to downtown office building, which provided more space and a great location. But Joyce Scanlon, who was Blind's executive director during these formative years, always dreamed of housing the center in one of the city's beautiful old mansions, where the extended family character of the center would be reinforced by the graciousness of a lovely old home. In 1993, she found the Charles Pillsbury Mansion, built in 1912 and owned at the time of the sale by the Guthrie Theater Foundation. Joyce decided that it was just what the Blind Incorporated staff had been looking for. Some in the community resisted the idea of selling the building to a group of blind people on the questionable grounds that they could not appreciate its grandeur. But the NFB of Minnesota prevailed, and on December 27, 1993, Blind Inc. bought the property, which is located at 100 East 22nd Street. They moved in on March 26th and began the demanding job of transforming it into a modern training center for the blind without sacrificing the charm and beauty of the original structure. Later this year, the staff, students, and the Minnesota affiliate will celebrate complete ownership of the property with a mortgage-burning party. What follows are the highlights of the Charles S. Pillsbury Mansion and the current home of Blind Incorporated. At the turn of the last century, Charles Alfred Pillsbury and the Pillsbury family had amassed a fortune, mostly from milling flour. Sometime around 1912, his sons, Charles S. Pillsbury and his twin brother John, flipped a coin to determine which of them would take over the family mansion on East 22nd Street. And a reminder, this is in Minneapolis. Charles lost the coin toss in the family home, so he decided to build his own mansion across the street. Over the next 2 years, he did so at a cost of $300,000. The house is basically English Gothic with elements of Tudor, Jacobean, and Elizabethan architecture. It appears to be built of gray limestone blocks, but it is actually brick faced with a limestone facade. Charles was interested in the Chicago School of Architecture called Skyscraper, So he built his home using steel I-beams and poured concrete floors. The family used rooms on all four floors of the mansion. The family room and a card room next door, used by the gentleman, shared the basement along with storage areas. The main floor included the central hall, the library, the parlor, the conservatory, and dining room, and the kitchen. The floor above housed bedrooms, bathrooms, closets, and personal suites for Mr. and Mrs. Pillsbury and their three daughters and one son. Even today, tucked away in a closet in Mrs. Pillsbury's suite is the safe for her jewels. Unfortunately, the combination has been lost. The top floor included servants' rooms and a large ballroom with skylights that make the rooms light and airy. Charles Pillsbury was determined to make his new home memorable, even though he was not above cutting corners where he could. The floors in the public rooms appear to be constructed of wide teak boards pegged together, but they are actually teak veneer over poured concrete and oak flooring, which at the time was relatively inexpensive. This would seem to have been a cost-cutting measure, yet the beautiful oak paneling in these rooms was imported from several English castles. Leaded glass windows grace a number of rooms, including the old conservatory with its bay containing grouped windows in what is now the Blind Incorporated lunchroom. Painted glass medallions from the 17th century European churches and castles have been integrated into several of the leaded glass windows on the main floor and the second floor. Pillsbury also imported a hand-carved quarter-sawn oak staircase. This came from an English castle, and he used it in his entrance hall. The parlor contains a massive carved oak fireplace imported from Shropshire, England. The library, now the executive director's office, is dominated by a sculpted stone fireplace imported from the Guildhall in Chester, England. This fireplace survived the Great Fire of London in 1666 before it was moved to Chester, but it enjoyed one further adventure on its way to the United States. Randolph Hearst actually bought the fireplace for his castle, San Simeon, in California. Charles Pillsbury learned about this find and attempted to buy the fireplace from Hearst. Knowing a good thing when he had found it, Hearst refused to sell. So Pillsbury asked if he could have a replica made before it was dismantled for shipping to the States. Hearst agreed to this, and the replica was made. As it happened, no one now seems to know whether by happenstance or design, the original and the replica were shipped in the same freighter. Somehow, by accident or maybe sleight of hand, the original was delivered to Pillsbury, and the replica was shipped to Hearst. By the time Hearst realized that he had the wrong fireplace, the original had already been installed in the Pillsbury mansion. Hearst sued to have his property returned, but somehow it has remained in Minneapolis and can be seen today in Sean Mayo's office. Though the Blind Ink staff has made a huge effort to preserve the uniqueness of the Pillsbury mansion, important and necessary renovations have been made. In this post-ADA world, one of the first renovations to be undertaken was installing an elevator. Without this addition, the mansion could not legally have served members of the general public. A battle developed, however, because the mansion was on the National Register of Historic Buildings. So the Minneapolis Heritage Preservation Commission was required to approve any proposed renovation. The architect, working with the organization Blind Ink, drew up plans that called for an inconspicuous addition housing the elevator at the rear of the mansion. The commission rejected the plan out of hand. In vain, the staff pointed out that the Americans with Disabilities Act required that an elevator be added to the facility. The commission could not or would not suggest any modification that would make the elevator acceptable to them. So Joyce Scanlon instructed the architect to draw up plans for an elevator to be located in the main entrance hall, where it would be easily accessible to everyone and also conspicuously intrusive and damaging to the historic structure of the mansion. Since an elevator was required by law to be part of the center, representatives from Blind Inc. told the commission that the more convenient and intrusive elevator would be constructed, and they submitted the blueprints to prove that they were serious. Permission to build the elevator in the original location was granted almost immediately. A number of recent renovations to the mansion would startle a Pillsbury ghost who decided to wander around the old homestead. The up-to-date laundry room across from the elevator, the two kitchens, one electric and one gas, the flower room now used for filing, and the collection of computer and other high-tech equipment filling Mr. Pillsbury's bedroom. But perhaps the most surprising addition is the power showdown table in the central hall of the second floor. Similar to air hockey, it's a game. Remember I said it was power showdown. This game is played by two people standing at either end of a large wooden table with a 6-inch barrier around the edge of the table and a board stretched across above the center, dividing it in half. Each player defends a pocket in front of him or her with a wooden paddle, a ball about the size of a pool ball with beads inside of it to make it rattle, is batted back and forth down the length of the table. Each player tries to get the ball to drop into the other person's pocket. The ball careens from side to side, bouncing off the perimeter fence. Sometimes it bounces up and hits the centerboard. When it does that, or when it bounces off the table, the person who hit it last loses a point. The game is fast and noisy, and some of the students and staff have developed lightning-fast reflexes and a deep vein of competitiveness. During mid-morning and afternoon breaks and at lunchtime, the sound of the power showdown ball being hammered across the table and even occasionally bouncing down the stairs can be heard all around the building. Neither of us had ever done anything like playing power showdown, as it was painfully obvious to everyone when we played. The game is great fun and an excellent way to relieve tension. Another unusual game that Blind Incorporated students sometimes play is string ball. Two people play this game in which a hollow baseball-sized ball is threaded on a cord stretched across a large room. The pitcher hurls the ball along the string toward and past the other person, who is swinging a baseball bat. The object is for the batter to connect with the ball as soon as it scoots past. Doing so requires carefully listening and precise swinging so as to sweep along the cable just as the ball is passing. We thoroughly enjoyed string ball as played in the ballroom, undoubtedly one of the more unusual activities ever undertaken in that rather formal space. Those who appreciate views are struck by the spectacular vista from the upper windows of the Pillsbury Mansion. This home was obviously loved by those who built and grew up in it. New generations of people, students this time, are coming to adulthood and full responsibility for themselves and their destinies within these well-made walls. We are confident that the members of the Pillsbury family who called 100 East 22nd Street in Minneapolis would approve of the family who now call it their home. So now you know about that Pillsbury Mansion and the connection of the Pillsbury Doughboy to blindness training. We'll continue with the main article by saying Minneapolis is a vibrant and diverse city now, and the Twin Cities area offers a wide variety of indoor and outdoor activities such as theater, canoeing, rock climbing, shopping, fishing, live music, and much more. Our students at Blind Inc. participate in activities to gain confidence and really to prove themselves that they can enjoy the same pastimes as their sighted friends and family members. We believe at Blind Inc. that blindness may change how we do some things, but it doesn't stop us from doing them. And now about that acronym, I've been calling it Blind Inc. It really is capital letters, B-L-I-N-D, comma, Inc., I-N-C. The letters BLIND stand for blindness, learning in new dimensions. blindness, learning in new dimensions, Blind Inc., is a nationally renowned training center for blind individuals of all ages. We were founded in 1986 by the National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota because of failure of traditional charity-based blindness agencies to meet the real needs of the state's blind residents. We have grown rapidly since that time. We offer vocational rehabilitation programs for blind adults, an English language program for blind immigrants and refugees, training and employment programs for blind teens, a summer training program for blind children, an independent living skills training program for blind senior citizens, blindness immersion programs for professionals working with blind people, and also public education programs about blindness. Our principles are simple but powerful. Blindness is just the physical loss of eyesight, nothing more. Blind people are like everyone else and can be expected to perform on a par with everyone else as long as they get effective training, the kind we offer, and public understanding and acceptance. Our graduates work in every conceivable form of employment. Many of our staff members are blind and serve as positive role models to the students. Our sighted instructors have undergone 6 weeks of intensive adjustment to blindness training under sleep shades in order to become adept at the skills that they must teach. We feel very strongly that we should not ask our students to do anything that we have not done ourselves. At Blind Inc., we use hands-on classroom instruction, but we also believe that the community is our classroom. Our students are taught to function independently in a variety of real-life settings. To facilitate this process, students in our comprehensive program and our transition programs also live self-sufficiently in individual apartments with a resident staff advisor on hand to answer questions and to provide assistance as needed and ensure a safe and positive environment. All students are encouraged to participate in the community using public transportation and traveling independently with a white cane. As part of our training, we have several activities that Blind Inc. offers as part of our student training. Adventure learning is an integral part of all of our programs. We encourage our students to be physically active and feel free to participate in leisure activities they enjoy. These activities may include mall shopping, rock climbing, or water skiing. Because our focus is on independence, Blind Inc. does not sponsor a sheltered workshop. We believe our students can achieve much more by setting their own educational goals and seeking meaningful careers in the broader community. Though effective training, high expectations, peer support, and public education, we will bring about a world in which blind people live independent lives, work in competitive employment, raise their own families, and contribute their skills and talents to the community. Blind Incorporated's goals are to do the following four things: provide training that enables graduates to function competitively alongside sighted peers in education, employment, and life. The second goal, to teach our clients the skills needed to find lifelong employment commensurate with their education and experience. Number three, provide an ongoing support network of other successful blind people. And our fourth goal, educate employers and the public about the abilities of blind people, including debunking those stereotypes. Blindness can and does happen to anyone. Our student body is a broad cross-section of all ages, races, creeds, and members of minority groups. The only criterion for someone to be eligible to receive our services is that an individual's eyesight be so bad that they have difficulty functioning. Blind Inc. has developed programs that serve blind individuals at every stage of life. Some have been blind for a very long time, while others have more recently and sometimes suddenly lost their sight. Through our English language learning program, we are reaching out to blind immigrants and refugees, an often overlooked group, but one that desperately needs our help. We treat everyone equally and seek full integration of blind people into society. Our training programs for adults, children, teens, and seniors combine hands-on classroom instruction in topics such as Braille, home management, industrial arts, and the use of technology, with community-based lessons in, for example, navigating public transportation independently and cane travel. We teach alternative or non-visual techniques that have been developed by blind people in an environment in which our students are supported by peers and mentored by blind people who have made the same journey and are living and modeling successful lives. Our largest program is our 9-month comprehensive program. The students in this program attend classes 40 hours a week for 6 to 9 months. The idea is that students will get good jobs, and this is integrated in all of our programs. For example, students attend classes in our Career Center 2 or 3 times a week to access job listings and job placement services, to learn job search and retention skills, and to write resumes. Dressing for success, especially for employment success, is taught in home management classes, and cane travel classes teach students how to utilize public transportation to get to or from work. We believe that blindness changes how we do things, but should not stop us from doing them. For example, challenging recreational projects in which students take field trips, such as rock climbing and water slides, are an integral part of our program, showing by example that blind people can be physically active and participate in the same kinds of leisure activities as sighted people. Graduates of Blind Incorporated's comprehensive program receive a Freedom Bell as a graduation gift. This bell symbolizes the freedom and independence each student has gained as a result of his or her training. Graduates are encouraged to ring the bell as they celebrate successes or personal achievements in their lives. I took a clipping out of their blog to tell you more about the ringing the bell. Here's a comment from some person who says, "This week has been a busy one for Jameson Christopher. Yesterday, he completed his industrial arts project, a shelving unit for his father. He rang the bell for his achievement. Today, Jameson will graduate from the college program. At 3:30 p.m., we will gather in the NFB room where we will celebrate Jameson's achievements and wish him well as he begins the next stage of his life. Congratulations, Jameson. Ring that bell loud and proud." Now we're going to go ahead to the comprehensive program. As I mentioned, it's a full-time 6 to 9 months of training residential program for adults who are blind or have experienced recent vision loss. This program focuses on the pre-employment and daily living skills necessary for personal independence. They start out by saying there's no such thing as a typical day at Blind Incorporated. We have a class schedule with a curriculum for each teaching area. That would include communications, cane travel, home and personal management, industrial arts, career exploration, and also seminars on blindness. Our primary goal is to integrate what is being taught in the classroom into each person's everyday life so he or she gains experience using each skill, becomes comfortable using that skill, and comes to understand that blindness need not be a barrier to personal success in life. A day at Blind Inc. begins at about 7:35 a.m. when students leave their apartments and take a city bus to the center. Morning announcements start at 8 o'clock. Everyone is informed of the events of the day. Tours of the program by prospective students, friends, or families of students coming to visit. Students serving their small or large meals. Our main goal is to get students revved up so that they can take on the rigorous class schedule before them. There are 2 class periods in the morning and 2 more in the afternoon. Each class period is 100 minutes long. Sometimes, however, our daytime schedule is altered. Challenging activities are planned so that students can get out into the community and use the skills that they are learning. Apple picking, rock climbing, hiking to Minnehaha Falls, going out for lunch, canoeing, snow tubing, remember we're in Minneapolis, cutting down Christmas trees to decorate the center, participating in Martin Luther King Day marches, attending the Minnesota State Fair, celebrating Valentine's Day, and touring area museums. These are just a few of our many options. We sometimes take extended trips, which may take 2 or 3 days. We go dog sledding in northern Minnesota. We may take a 3-day camping trip to a state park, or do our own outdoor cooking, or experience travel outside the big city. Students are permitted to attend national and state conventions of the National Federation of the Blind so that they can become familiar with the organized blind movement in action. We also traveled to Washington, D.C. for the National Federation of the Blind's annual Washington Seminar, where we check out the sites of interest in our nation's capital, ride the Metro Transit system, and meet with our elected officials in Congress. So as you see, every day in the life of a Blind Inc. student is filled with exciting adventures. Change is a normal part of life, and challenges must be welcomed and not feared due to blindness. Students come to understand themselves and their potential as they learn alternative techniques for completing the daily tasks they once thought required eyesight. They come to realize that they can deal with blindness, and they refuse to let it stop them from following their dreams. We are talking about the program called Blind Inc., which is held in the Pillsbury Mansion in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And those initials, BLIND, Blind Incorporated, the blind initials stand for Blindness, Learning in New Dimensions, for Blind Inc. I have some contact information for you now. Their website is www.blindinc.org, and that's BLINDINC, blindinc.org. Their street address is 100 East 22nd Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota. They have an 800 number, which is 1-800-597-9558. And if you wish to send them email about maybe getting yourself out there and trying one of their programs, email. Their email address is info@blindinc.org. Now, so I'm hoping you can now understand the connection between the Pillsbury Doughboy and blindness. Lucky are the people who can attend programs at Blind Inc. in the Pillsbury Mansion in Minneapolis. To end the program today, I have a quote for you to think about. Hard work and training. There is no secret formula. This was said by Ronnie Coleman, an American retired professional bodybuilder and the winner of the Mr. Olympia title for 8 years in a row. He is widely regarded as one of the greatest bodybuilders of all times. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.